to find out. So I grabbed myself a pad of paper, I grabbed myself a pen, and I stuck it in my pocket, and I carried it around for an entire week. Just as the only time the gospel you presented that I was at the opposite institution, so tell someone about prayer. You got to believe what I recommend. The point of Monday and Monday, I came up with 86 opportunities in 1 week. Now I wasn't even expecting it. I was thinking, maybe if I try really hard, 10 to 15. If I'm lucky, 10 to 15. And I said, this has to be a freak of nature. Okay? The Holy Spirit has been really moving this week and giving me opportunities to give the gospel. So I said, this can't be right. So I did it again. And the very next week, starting on that Tuesday, the Tuesday, I went through, and this time I got 120. I couldn't believe it. And then I thought back to myself, really guilty. And I was thinking again, all these opportunities that I'm getting, it's just little phrases that people say that would give me an opportunity just to get in there and tell them, you know anything about Jesus Christ? And you want to know what? One-fourth of that 120, I got into the sales for a Walmart.
I got one more sales over there.
Okay? But everything, it's like, you got to show them your ID.
A lot of times when I write a check,
and I just pull out my ID, and there's my faith ID right next to it. Oh, I got a faith. What's that about?
What?
Oh, I'll tell you about it. You know, people hate me for that because I got a line back that put back into the automobile about, you know, trying to check out there. I'm telling the person about, you know, the gospel. But the point is, there's tons of opportunities out there.
And what I want to get across is how many times in your life do you get opportunities to do the gospel?
I'm afraid some of you will be thinking, once, maybe twice,
and I'm telling you, you're wrong. You can open your eyes. It's there.
The Holy Spirit is working harder than ever today. But trying to get people to know the Lord, to know Jesus Christ. There are literally hundreds of times, thousands of times, that we have a chance to give the gospel. And God wants you to present the gospel every single chance that you get. God wants you to be eager to preach the gospel.
And then, whoa, man, you know, preaching's okay with you, buddy, but I don't preach. All right? Let me tell you, are you a Christian? Okay? If you are, I'm sorry. God called you to preach. Okay? There's no way around it. Right before Christ ascended into heaven, what did he tell us to do? Go, be therefore, to all the world, and preach the gospel. Plain as it. Okay, he has called every single one of us to give the gospel. I've met so many people that say, but no, I'm not the verbal type. I'm not the type that can approach people. Let me tell you about it. If you pray, God will find a way. You realize that Moses said the same thing? Lord, I'm not the person I can speak. I can't talk about it. I can't do it. And he said, it's not a problem. I'll give you Aaron. And he did. And if you notice, if you read through the whole entire life of Moses, how many times did Aaron speak for Moses? Once. Aaron spoke once for Moses. And after that, he had the courage to do it himself. God wants to give you the courage. There are two things that we need to have within ourselves to be eager to preach. One is the responsibility. The responsibility. Look with me again in verse 14. I am obligated to stop. You really look at that word in the original language in Greek. Obligated gets that sentence of being chained. It's almost the same word. To be bound tightly, so tight that you can't get away from it. And that's what Paul's trying to say here. Paul wrote this passage. He said, I am obligated. I am bound tightly. I am chained to the gospel. I can't do anything in my life without giving the gospel. And this is a lesson that we need to learn. We need to be the same way. Whether you're a businessman, whether you're a sales clerk, whether you know, you work in the government, or you work in the church, it doesn't matter what you do. You need to be bound
to the gospel.
That needs to be the center point of your focus.
Let me tell you, are you into making money?
Can't think of heaven. Are you into looking good? Can't think of the heaven.
Every single physical thing that you do on this earth,
you can't take it with you. But the one thing that you can is the gospel. And that is going to last for eternity.
We need to focus on the gospel.
So Paul says, I am obligated, I am bound, I have the responsibility to give the gospel everywhere I go. And he goes on to say, both to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks.
Let me tell you something about the Greeks.
The Greeks were very sophisticated people. Okay? They were people that never considered themselves wrong. They were the thinkers of their day. So much that they considered everyone else savages. They thought the emperor of the Roman Empire was a savage because he was not a Greek. He was not from Greece. What does that tell you about the Greeks?
Kind of prideful, don't you think? Kind of think of bigger than himself? Let me give you an example, and this is true. I would not lie to you.
A Greek would sit on the steps of the building, and we're talking center small. And they would sit there for 9 hours out of the day. They would be looking down at the ground with a bunch of doves pecking at the ground, and they debated whether or not they could see in color or in black and white. And this is no joke. This is recorded evidence in the Greek history. They would debate that for 9 hours. And I say, what's the point? But they would go on for 9 more hours telling you what the point is.
Okay, and it came even worse when it came to God. They could spend an eternity telling you that there's not just one all-powerful God, but there are many. That's a hard field to preach to.
It's no wonder that Paul put down that he had to preach to the Greeks. Because can you see the challenge he had there? Can you see the challenge of attack and trying to give them the gospel? Take that with their own lives. You know people like that?
I'm surrounded by them all the time.
Being within a college atmosphere, I try to intermingle with other people from other colleges and those who major in philosophy and history. They come to the conclusion with a lot of study, there is no God. There can't be. Look at history. How do you tell that person that Jesus Christ is real, he exists?
And they need him in their lives in order to go to heaven from keeping eternity in hell.
How do you tell them that?
Well, let me tell you, you tell them anyway. Because they are not exempt from the gospel. Paul tells us here, we need to tell those people. He also tells us that we need to tell the non-Greeks. Now, like I said, the Greeks actually considered anyone outside of their Greek circle were savages. And that actual word in that passage means barbarian. So they're looking at the Greeks considered everyone else barbarian, savages. People who don't understand, people who don't care, people who decide to follow their own path instead of anyone else's. That was their definition of a barbarian. And I tell you what, we have people like that all over the place in our society. You know, they're not exempt from the gospel either. We have to tell them as well. So what's the point here? Everybody needs to know the gospel.
Everybody.
Not just the people in this church. And that, when I was growing up, I never, ever heard the gospel outside of church. Ever. Not once. And I like to think that throughout my life I can get some churches to change. I can get some churches to believe, I want the gospel heard more outside of church than inside of church. You know why we come to church? Not to give the gospel, I'm sorry to say. But we need the body for encouragement from giving the gospel on the outside. How many times, if you've ever given the gospel, you can shut down that. Someone just tell you, get out of my face over here. I've heard tons of times. That gets discouraging. That's why I look forward when I come to church on a Sunday, my fellow believers, they know what that's like. They can encourage me, they can build me up. That's why we sing these great songs that this is what we're fighting for. We're fighting for our Savior. We're fighting to tell people about Christ. Every time we get back together, we get strong again, and we go right back out of that. That's the reason we come together. To give the gospel. So what do we need? We need responsibility in order to be eager to preach the gospel.
have another interesting career for you. After high school, I decided I'd go ahead and travel a little bit. I got kind of tired of the school thing, and I knew I was going to go to more school, so I said, I better get a break. So I went ahead and I joined up with a Christian drama team. And we also sang and did some street preaching, and it was quite an interesting group that they traveled with. We traveled all the way throughout the Midwest. And as we traveled, we came to South Dakota, and you have to forgive me, I forget the town. But we got in there and they were having a huge festival. Festivities were going, balloons were all over the place, and everybody was having a great time. We said, we have to do a performance. So we stopped and we went in and we set up and we went ahead and did a performance, and it was amazing. Hundreds of people gathered around us to hear our message and the gospel, and we sang and we did some skits. And afterwards, we dispersed. We dispersed, prepared for the groups, and one point, kind of a track, see if we can get some people to listen to us about Jesus Christ. And finally, me and a friend that I used to pair up with, let's go outside a little further, you know, where we've got so many people already getting on track to go out a little further. So we decided to go out, and we got a little, not very far, and my friend, just a minute. I think I'm going to head back to the bus. I'm at this one. I was going on my own, not knowing what I was going to get myself into. But as I kept going, I came around the corner of a building, and there they were. I just stared. Started to feel me shaking a little bit. My elbows, you ever feel that? It twitches a little. I'm getting nervous. I looked over, and there they were. They were smiling. They were wearing the leather jackets. You know, I thought I got flashback to the 80s for a second. One of the guys had a mohawk, a big old long one with the pink all the way back, and they had long hair. They had the chains and everything, and tattoos everywhere. And I had to check again to see if they were human, actually, because I couldn't see skin on some of them. And I was shaking on my knees. And they were there, and I had to think, why am I here? Yes, oh yes, to give the gospel. People are lost too. But my knees were shaking so bad I had to. So there's some steps behind me. I backed up a little and I tapped. And then I heard it. You ever heard that little guy? Up on your shoulder? I call him my name. I hate him for that. But he's sitting there and he says, hey, go back. Look at those guys. And you go over there, and they just take them on. They've got chains and baseball bats in their trunk of that car. And they're going to beat you to death. Man, I really started shaking now. I said, man. But it kept pounding. No, I'm here to get the gospel. I'm not here to run. And then it's like, you can just feel the Holy Spirit sometimes. It's saying, Dan, look down and see what you got. I looked down and in my clenched tight hands, I had my Bible. That brought a little bit of comfort. And the Holy Spirit says, Dan, I want you to think, what have you learned from that book? And immediately it popped into my mind. And I praised God at that moment for years of a want. Because I praised God because it popped into my mind, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Well, that was getting fun. Alright, yeah, okay. Power of God. And all of a sudden, my little demon started chucking up again. Oh, yeah, sure. You got the power of God, but they've got baseball bats. What are you going to do about that? I really got confused. So I said, oh, get off my demon away. And I said, no, Lord, give me the courage. Give me the power to go over there and tell them about you. So I went over. With that decision, I slammed my Bible back shut, and all five of them turned over and looked at me. I said, oh, you know, and then they just ignored me quicker than they looked at me. I said, no, I can do this. So I grabbed my Bible and I walked slowly over there. And I said, yeah, how you guys doing? And they stopped talking and got closer. I noticed most of them were smoking. Another guy had a bottle of some kind of alcohol next to him, and he kind of hid it behind him a little bit as I got a little closer. And I said, did you guys happen to notice our presentation over there? And I went, yeah, I saw you over there, you guys. It doesn't look very interesting, but I saw you over there. Don't, yeah. But I tell you what, I've got something free that I'd like to give you. And it's right here in my back. My voice cracked. Right there. I said, oh, I'm going to die. But then a short guy in the back, he spoke up and said, oh, yeah, you know, that happens to me too. And that happens to me all the time. It usually happens when I smoke a little too much marijuana. You know, I can't. It happens a little bit, and I can't, you know, speak very good. And I
kind of half smiled.
But I've got something else I'd like to give you. And I pulled out 5 tracts. I said, I'd like you guys to read this. And you know what's amazing? How quick the subject switched to Christ. I couldn't believe it. They completely forgot about what they were doing, and I completely just forgot about what they think of me, and they just started asking questions about God. You know, I've been to a church once. Yeah, I knew somebody that was a priest, and they told me something. And they started asking questions, and they told me about how they were rejected from a lot of churches, how they didn't accept them. I said, you know what? No matter who rejects you, Jesus Christ never, ever will. And we got to talking. We talked for like 20 minutes. I looked at my watch, and I noticed it was time for me to get back, but they decided to walk back with me. And we kept talking, and by once we got to the crowd, they noticed that there were girls in our group, and they dispersed, and I never saw any of them again. But the fact is that I got the gospel out to them. I listened. I heard the gospel. And I conquered my fear. Because you know why? Because I should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is power. Immense power. I can take it, and I can probably vouch for every single person in here that at some point in your life, you felt the same way. You know that feeling I'm talking about? It's right here. Just crunches up and it turns your stomach up a little bit. And you're thinking, should I give the gospel or shouldn't I give the gospel? And by the time you decide, the time has passed. Oh, it wasn't God that told me to tell you. We'll never know. If God gives you the opportunity, don't ignore it. So what do we need to be eager to preach? We need to have responsibility. We need to have power. Let me tell you, in the end, you'll have the reward. 2 years ago, while I was in college, I got a letter from an individual named James. And James, in that letter, he told me, Dan, I just wanted to tell you, I don't even know if you remember, I just wanted to tell you thank you. I remember the time that you gave me a tract and you told me about the Word of God. And because of that, I didn't get saved right then, but I decided to go to a church again. I decided to try it again, and I went into that church, and I met this girl. She's really nice. And she told me more about Jesus, and I got saved over the years. We got married, and now I'm having our first child on the way. And you're not going to believe this. Next week, I'm up to be on the deacon board. They nominated me to be on the deacon board. Love your brother, James. I remember him. Because James was that individual when I was in that group of those 5 guys. He was the one that asked me if I had any marijuana. God works. God works. That was a gift from God to me. We don't always see that. It gets to keep me going and to keep me preaching the word every chance that I come. I don't know if God may do something similar to you, but I tell you, when you get to heaven and you've been faithful and you've been obedient in giving people the gospel, you will see the rewards in heaven. God tells us that. And that letter I got was a neat reward for me, but I tell you, the reward waiting for me that is real is in heaven, and I'll be succeed at much further. Much further. May you be encouraged this morning to give the gospel every single chance you get. And I don't think I can express that more. I even challenge you even further. If you haven't already, memorize this portal text. It will bring you encouragement and strength in your time of need. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son. Thank you so much for sending him to die on the cross, that we have something to believe in. that we know that someday we will be with you. Lord, I know that if we pray for it, you will give us opportunities beyond comprehension to spread the gospel. Lord, may we have encouragement and your power to tell those people what we need to say. And in your precious name.